I was starting to idolize money. What could I get with my money? What could we do with my money? And I just, looking back, even though I was kidding myself, telling myself I was a good steward to my money, I was not. I was not. I maybe stewarded a little bit of it to the good, but not like God had told me to. And so he humbled me.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Well, I'm excited to have you here. Super exciting.
Yes.
I remember when I found your TikTok account, I was like, ah! I was like DMing like furiously. I was like, I need her on this podcast. I love that your stuff.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored.
Of course. For our listeners, I'm here today with Val Reynolds. She's a TikTok star and she's the host of the Beautifully Enough. Don't make that face. You are a TikTok star.
I will receive it. I'm trying to do better about receiving compliments. So I'll receive it.
Yes. You are a TikTok star and you're the host of the Beautifully Enough podcast. So thank you so much for being here. Well, I came across your TikTok account. You were talking about, well, generally just talking about Jesus. You deliver things with love, but also you're very clear and you don't really take any crap. And I admire that about you.
That's pretty much me.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. I would love to hear about just how God has shaped you. How has he created this sort of person who doesn't really seem to have fear of man? I'm always just very struck when I see people who tell truth to power and share the word of God for what it is and don't seem to run away from the more uncomfortable bits of that. So to start off, like, where are you from? How was your family, your upbringing, all of that?
Well, I am in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm 34 years old. I'm a coach's wife. Today's actually Friday when we're recording this, so we're getting ready for round two of playoffs tonight, so nerves are a little up over in this household. And I have two children. I have Josh, who's 8, and Jennifer, who is 3, who just went down for a nap. So I basically do all of this just in the cracks of my day, being able to do the TikTok. And I have an at-home business, a health and beauty wellness business that I've been doing for 5 years. And before that, I was actually a teacher and a head volleyball coach. So I've kind of done everything, but coaching has always been in my wheelhouse because I coached club volleyball from about 19 to 24 or so. And then I got a job at a high school and was a JV coach and then was promoted to the varsity coach. And I did that for 6 years. And then I started my at-home business. And I think through all of that, between coaching, which is a very tough profession, it's one of those few professions where people feel like they can tell you how to do your job type of profession. So I had to grow thick skin being a coach. And then starting my at-home business doing entrepreneurship, I was not prepared for that. So I think between those two things, it sort of shaped me into having a little bit thicker skin. And through all of that stuff, I've really truly grown and released some of the things that I struggled with, like people pleasing, and just having that relationship with God has helped me be able to release some of those things that I felt like held me down. I've always been passionate. I've always been confident in myself. If you put something in front of me, it's just my personality to be able to say, I will figure it out. And so God just made me that way. That's just some of the gifts that he's given me, but I've had to slowly hone them in and sort of put them in a place where they can be Christ-like, because we definitely can take some of our characteristics and use them and just run people over and sound very judgmental and condemning. And that's just something that I don't want to do, because our God, while he's a very just God, he also is forgiving, and he also shows grace. And at the same time that he would condemn people like the Pharisees in the Bible, he would then turn around and heal the sick. And he would be with people that most people didn't want to be with. And he didn't want to touch them. He didn't, women and people who were sick and leprosy and all these different things, there's things that were considered unclean. God went to them. And so I take that to heart. And between all of this, I grew up in the church. So I went to the same church from the time I was 2 to the time I was 32. And so same church, it's a non-denominational church. And that is where I got baptized. That is where I got married and where my kids got dedicated. But my faith really was shaken. Like when I say shaken, not shaken as in I stepped away, but shaken as in God was pushing me to change. He was challenging me to grow in my faith, because even though I grew up in the church and I knew the Bible stories, I went to vacation Bible school and I went to Sunday school and I was on worship team and all of those different things. So I know what's right and what's wrong, right? I feel like I had a good idea. I would call myself a Christian. I was lukewarm for a while. It's just, I knew God, but was I truly acting like God in certain aspects of my life? No. In the eyes of the world, was I a good person? Yes. But in God's eyes, I was definitely letting him down. And so I felt like that part of that was because I was comfortable where I was, because it was the same church for 30 years of my life. And so whenever we moved here to San Antonio, because of my husband's job, we've been here for about 2.5 years. That was the first time ever in my entire life that I had to actually go find a new church body. I had to rely on myself for my faith and not just my dad, you know, pouring into me. He's a very godly man, or my mom making me read Bible verses and passages and Ruth and Esther during summer break. I didn't have anybody pushing me to do that. I had to actually take responsibility for my own faith. So just within the past 2 years, I truly have just gotten so on fire, just so passionate for him. And God has revealed just in the past year or so that I have a new calling on my heart, and it's still within coaching realm. So it seems like it's not anything new, Valerie, just taking it from you and just like me and pouring into myself to you have something you need to share with people. And then that's where the podcast came into play. And I didn't want to do it. Said, nope, this is not for me. Like, there's so many other podcasts. God, no, find somebody else. I was like Moses, like, don't find somebody else. This is not for me. And he was like, nope, it's for you. I made it for you. You need to do it. And so I walked in obedience, and I still struggle with, am I qualified? Like, do I know enough? And so I still have those doubts and those fears, but I remember things like in Jeremiah, how he says, he puts his hand on your mouth and I will give you the words. I will qualify you. And so those are just relying on, he made me this way, but at the same time, I get a lot of my confidence from God.
Awesome. What was that process of becoming on fire for him? And like, what enabled that? Was it just time in the word, prayer? What was it?
Yes. Yeah, so it actually started in my business. Anybody who is an entrepreneur or is in sales or commissions, you realize that there are seasons in your business. So there's ups and there's downs. And so I found success in my business, and God, I truly, looking back, right? Hindsight's always 20/20. Looking back, I realized God was humbling me. But at the time, because I was finding financial success in my at-home business, I was also starting to idolize money. I was starting to idolize materials. What could I get with my money? What could we do with my money? And I just, looking back, even though I was kidding myself, telling myself I was a good steward to my money, I was not. I was not. I maybe stewarded a little bit of it to the good, but not like God had told me to. And so he humbled me, and he can give it and he can take it away. And so I went through a season in my business where I was not at the top, and I was not making the checks that I had made. And I could do one of two things. I could either go rock and cry in a corner and say, oh, woe is me, and quit and step away. But like I said, that's not my personality. I'm not a quitter. I coached for years, right? Like I would coach my girls. You are not a quitter. You have to push through the tough stuff. It's going to hurt, but you've got to come out on the other side. So I had to practice what I preached. And the only way I knew how to do that was through my faith and through God. And so that is where I would just pour into. I just started doing devotionals. I would listen to podcasts, and I found devotional podcasts specifically for women. But I would also just listen to sermons. And then I started digging into my Bible and just started reading. I would do Audible Bible. And so I just started to truly ingest everything that I possibly could, because at the time it was my way to keep my head above water and for me to be able to sleep at night and to not panic financially, not to, you know, I wanted to be able to have the peace. One of my favorite Bible verses, where it says, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard your heart and your soul. Amen. And I would cling to that verse, I would cling to it and say, okay, God, you promised me, if I give you this, you're going to give me peace that I don't understand. because I need that right now, because I can't sleep because I'm stressing. And I feel like I'm doing everything wrong. I feel like I'm failing. And my security has been in my finances and my money. And you, I know you're humbling me now. So help me put my security back in you. And the fire didn't come from me. It was God was igniting it. He took that and he just ignited it. And he's the one that really, truly sparked this whole journey and got me passionate, got me excited.
Wow. That is awesome. I think it's really encouraging to me personally right now in this moment, because I am, you know, in the beginning stages of this ministry, and I'm very fearful. And I think that that's part of the problem. And I think a lot of Christians have that kind of, you would say it's like overly cautious or whatever, but really it's like a, it's a distrust of God's ability to keep you, where I'm like so fearful of beginning to worship money. And I think it's because I'm highly aware of how corruptible we all are, and like how easily so many people in the church like have fallen away because of money. But I feel like that is reassuring. God will keep you. He had his hand on you that entire time. He was with you in the wilderness and quickly brought you back. So how did he change your view of money? Like, how did he change your ambition? Because clearly you're still very ambitious, but it's a different type of ambition. What does that look like?
Oh, goodness. I did a lot of research on, like, I would just Google money verses because I didn't know where to start. And so I'm like, what does the Bible say about money? Honestly, Google can be your best friend if you don't know where to start, because you know the Bible talks about money, but you may not know where to go. Ask Google. Like, it's not, don't be ashamed if you need to go and ask Google, Google money verses, go, and then go and open your Bible. But then the next tip that I give people is don't just read that one verse that talks about it. You want to give it context, right? That's always the buzzword on TikTok, right? Context. You have to read everything in context, but truly you do. And so I always encourage people to read a few sentences above and a few sentences below, because more likely than not, at least this is my own experience, it's never the verse that Google gives me that it's the eye opener. It's always like one of the ones before or after it. And so I go to it because it says money, but really my aha is like before it, or the aha is after it. And I'm like, oh, there it is. There is what I was needing. So I started to read how the Bible talks about the money can be evil. But then I also see people like King David and Solomon, who were, while they still had their own sins and they still had moments where they made mistakes, they were blessed abundantly. You know, I think about Lydia in the Bible, where Paul met Lydia, and because Lydia sold the linens, the purple linens, purple at the time, the color was a sign of wealth and almost like royalty, if you kind of get what I'm saying. And Lydia was a businesswoman. Right. And she made lots of money. And because of her money, they were able to establish the church. And then you think of Proverbs 31, it talks about how she is a hard worker, that her trades are profitable. And so I had to get rid of my distorted thinking of what money was, because the world wants to distort it. The world wants to tell you that if you want more money, you are greedy. But that's not necessarily the case. Greed's going to come from where your heart is. And so I just truly had to check my heart. And like I said, God had to humble me. I actually have a sign on my desk and it says, stay humble, because that is where I would fall. I would fall with money, because money would give me value. Money would give me my identity. It made me feel special. It made me feel different than other people. And those are things that were not of God, because my identity is not in money. My identity is from God. I am God's masterpiece, right? That is what he calls me. He says he knows, he formed me in the womb. He knows how many hairs are on my head. That is my identity. And so I just had to really work on why I loved money. And I had to get rid of my distorted thoughts about money and that money was greedy. I had to get rid of my distorted thoughts that if I wanted more money, I had to make sure my heart was right and that I was not doing it for selfish ambition or just to pad my bank account or to be able to get designer purses or anything like that. It was God is truly been convicting my heart. He said, okay, you are ambitious, go after it again. But this time your heart is different, because you're not doing it for your own selfish gain anymore. You're doing it to benefit others. Like I have goals in my mind now of how I can start courses for women because of money. Being able to tithe more, being able to give back. I think of Christmas and purchasing presents for children, being able to sponsor children, being able to sponsor missionaries and do all these things. But it's because of my mindset and just what I'm focused now and what I can do with my money, but coming from a kingdom standpoint. Right.
That is the
furthering
key.
The kingdom. It's not about furthering me anymore, right. Which is where I was when I first got the abundance. So God's like, no, you need to use it for me. Or guess what? I'll probably take it away again.
Right. And has he honored that?
So far, yes. So far he has. It is sort of a slow season right now, at least in my wellness business. But however, with my coaching business, I have gone from 3 clients to 6 just within the past couple of weeks. And so God is going to show up, and my frustration tends to come because he doesn't show up on my timeline.
Same girl.
And so I just have to remember, okay, hold on, rein it back, Val. He didn't show up on your timeline. That doesn't mean your timeline was right. It needs to be his timeline. So you just got to keep pursuing him, put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in your own work ethic, although work ethic is still very important. But I celebrate Sabbath. I take rest. I've taken the control freakness off of my business and off of everything and say, God, this is still yours.
So returning to goal setting, I think that a lot of people are waiting on God to do it the way that they want him to do it, or they are fearful of setting goals because they are afraid of veering into the prosperity gospel, you know, the God as a genie gospel. How do you find the middle ground that's based on scripture for setting goals and trusting the Lord with those goals, but not being afraid to say, here's where I want to be, and I'm going to work towards that, knowing that it may or may not happen?
I'll answer with what I teach my son, and it's going to sound really, really silly for what we pray about, but it's definitely something that you can apply to anything in your life, especially when it comes to goal setting. So like I said, my husband's a coach, and on Fridays we play football. So on Thursdays, when I put my son down to bed and we pray, we always pray for like peace, and we pray for health and rest and, you know, taking care of us and all that stuff. But on Thursdays, specifically Thursdays, because it's the day before games, we pray, God, and if it's your will, help the Mustangs win. And like I said, I know that's really cheesy, but he's 8. Okay. Yeah. He's 8. Right. And I want to teach him that it's okay. The Bible tells us to ask. God tells us ask. And so asking and praying about goals that you want is not bad. That is not a sin. Because when you present it to God, it's different than manifesting, okay? Right. This is not new age. This is like, God, here is my goal. This is what I feel like I should be doing. I'm going to give it to you because my faith tells me I need to present it to you. I need to get your stamp of approval on it. But what I didn't do for the longest time is I used to not have, if it's your will, your will be done. It was always still my will, what I want. And if it didn't happen, then I was just defeated. I was angry. I would work even harder, because you can also hustle and grind and work extremely hard and obtain what you want. So you can still get your result. And I feel like there were certain moments in my business where maybe I overworked myself and I had zero faith in God, even though I gave him glory when it would happen. But looking back now, I'm like, oh, where was my heart? You know, I would work from sun up till sundown and up until my husband be sleeping in bed, and I'm still working. So you can definitely work hard enough and obtain what you want without God. That option is there. But what I have learned, my own discernment now, is, God, this is what I want to work hard for. This is what I want to do with it, if it's your will. And if it's not your will, or if your timeline is longer than mine, then it is still well with my soul. So if I don't ever get the biggest paycheck I ever got, it is still well with my soul. Thank you, God, for giving it to me when I had it. I understand why you took it away. And even though I may be humbled and my heart may be in a totally different place, if you never give it to me again, it is well with my soul, because you are still my provider. You are my Jehovah Jireh. And my faith is no longer, my security is no longer in money. My security is in you. And you're going to give me exactly what I need when I need it. No more, no less. Let the Holy Spirit guide your thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit guide your actions. Then you will never stray away from biblical truth, because you're not listening to your own opinion or what the world tells you. You are listening to the Holy Spirit, and he can't lie. He is always just. So you're naturally going to be in alignment with the gospel if you are in that intimate relationship with Christ and you are listening to him and allowing him to help you with your discernment of your decisions and your motives.
Right, right. So a lot of people, I feel I can already hear them. I have so many young followers who just don't know how to discern, really. What would you tell them to do?
I would tell them to pour into the word. In order for you to hear Jesus, so if we talk about the Trinity, right, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. So when people ask me, how do I hear God's voice? It's because of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. First Corinthians talks about how if people have the Spirit inside of them, in order for us to be able to discern what the Spirit wants, we have to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And people who do not have the Holy Spirit inside of them, they're going to look at us like we're foolish. They're going to, like non-believers, they're going to look at what we say. They're not going to they're going to misinterpret everything that we say, but it's because they don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And so as a believer, we know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of our hearts, kind of like a conscience, but that's like a super lame way to talk about the Holy Spirit because he's sovereign, right? But better words to kind of give people an idea. He lives inside of us. And so as you water that Holy Spirit faith, to me, watering, maturing your faith is really ingesting, kind of like what we talked about at the beginning, ingesting just everything you possibly can that is truthful. So really dive into the word. I highly recommend reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that is the account of Jesus. You have to get to know Jesus. How do you grow a relationship with a person? You spend time with them, right? You ask them questions. What do they like? What do they not like? Who's your mom? Who's your dad? What do you hate? What do you love? All these different things in between. We have to do the exact same thing with Jesus. And so a lot of times when people say that they feel like they can't hear the Holy Spirit, I ask them, how do they feel about their relationship with Jesus? Because it usually correlates. And they usually say, well, I don't feel very close to him right now. And so that's a correlation of that's probably why you feel like you can't hear the Holy Spirit, just because you don't feel like you know Jesus. Right. And so as you get to know Jesus, you will start to hear that voice. Now, is it an audible voice? For some people, it is. For me, it's not. For me, when I say I hear Jesus, it's like a kind of a heart palpitation, gut feeling, like I can't get rid of the thought. There's a video I did about a week and a half ago, and I read the scripture and I felt the stirring, and God was like, share this with people. And I recorded it and I drafted it. And I was like, I don't know, because there are going to be some people, I know they're going to take this out of context. I know they're going to tell me that people are going to misinterpret this. Like, I know that they're going to, and I don't want to do that. I hate drama. And so I held on to that draft for most of the morning, and God kept bringing it back. It's like, I couldn't get rid of the thought. And so for me, that's what happens with me. Usually I can't get rid of the thought. And when I can't get rid of the thought, then I'm like, okay, this is God telling me I need to do this. Even though, could people misinterpret it? Yes. Even though, are people going to get in my comment section? Maybe. But were there people who needed to hear that? Yes. Were there people who, because the content I made was, I call it solid food. The Bible talks about in Corinthians, how there are some people who are just a little immature in faith and they're still stuck on milk. And Paul's like, some of you guys are still stuck on milk. I try to give you solid food and you can't take it. And so then there are some believers who need the solid food. Like, I have found tons of solid food on TikTok that have made me question. And I have found new answers. And there are things that I used to do or I used to think were okay that I don't do. And that's just been a few months ago. And so there are some really good solid food content on TikTok. And this video just happened to be one where I am specifically talking to the person who is a believer, but maybe they're questioning these. I wanted to answer that for them. So it's solid food for them to mature their faith. Right. And I had people in my comment section that said, well, a non-believer is going to misinterpret this. Like, well, yeah, a non-believer is going to misinterpret this because they don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart to be able to discern what I'm trying to say to begin with. They're going to misinterpret everything that I say because they don't know God. So if you want to hear the Holy Spirit, you want to know what his voice is, you have to grow closer to God. You have to grow closer to Jesus. And for me, I always suggest just start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get to know who Jesus is, what he did, what his promises were, what his miracles were, the promise of his sacrifice and how that's an eternal sacrifice, and then continue on. I feel like that's kind of the foundation of where to start. And then everything else grows, like then go read Romans, then go read Acts, then go read the Paul's or the letter that Paul wrote to the churches, then go read all of this other stuff and build it on top of the foundation. But our foundation has to be Jesus. It can't be other people's opinions. It can't be what you see on TikTok. It needs to be what you read in the Gospels. So I feel like once you do that and you feel like you start to get to know Jesus a little bit more, you will hear that Holy Spirit because you will have that discernment naturally. Mm-hmm. And all the lies and the distortion from the world are going to start to fade out because you're giving yourself the good food. You're starting to feed yourself with the Spirit and not of things of the world.
Yes, absolutely. It's just as Jesus says, like, my sheep recognize my voice. And then it's 2 Corinthians, 10:5, like we test everything against the word. Yes. Like we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And you can't do that unless you can recognize his voice. Mm-hmm. And like Satan comes and often sounds like Christ.
Yes.
Often will come to you and try to confuse you. And the only way you can possibly know whether you're talking to the Lord or some other spirit is if you know the word.
Exactly. And I would also send your listeners to Galatians 5, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Yes. I just did this with the coaching call for my girl earlier today because she was kind of asking similar questions like, how do I know what's right and what's wrong? And so I send them to the fruits of the Spirit because for the longest time, as I would read the fruits of the Spirit, for some reason, my mind was taking the fruits of the Spirit as, oh, this is what God gives us. Like, these are the fruits of like God, and it's love and joy. Like, God gives love. God gives joy and peace and patience. I thought it was like him, like raining it down on us. But as you truly get to know the Trinity, it's not a coincidence that the fruits of the Spirit are the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit that lives inside of us. So if the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and these are the fruits just being results. Right. If these are the results that the Holy Spirit should be producing and he lives inside of me, ooh, I should be producing these.
Right.
And it was like this like moment. And so that is sort of the fruits of the Spirit are my litmus test to my discernment. If I'm confused, because our God is not a God of confusion.
Exactly.
So I run it through the fruits of the Spirit. If there's one thing I have people memorize, I say, memorize the fruits of the Spirit. And here's why. Because if you are in your actions and your words, if you are not producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, or self-control, or combination of all of those, then don't do it. Don't comment it. Don't say it. Don't post it. Don't do any of those things. And that saves you so much time. And if anything, it's you being Christ-like. Because like it said, it's biblical. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And then if you actually read above it, it says the acts of the flesh, and it lists a whole bunch of things that are acts of the flesh. And it's sexual immorality, idolatry, hatred, witchcraft, discord, distension, fits of rage, and all of these different things. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is very clear with what is of God, what is of Christ, and what is of the world. And just use that as sort of your comparison to say, okay, I want to comment back to this person. Is my comment going to produce any of these seven or however many fruits of the Spirit there are?
Right.
Is it going to produce one of these things? Because if it doesn't, let's practice our self-control and let's not post it because God doesn't always need my words to be able to convict somebody. Mm-hmm. Can we take ourselves out of the equation and say, my God is big enough. He doesn't need my help.
Right. That is a tough lesson because I think that it's often very tempting, especially in this digital age. Anytime you see an opportunity to quote unquote, like speak into someone's heart or whatever.
Judge righteously.
Exactly. Any opportunity you think that, oh, this is my chance to be used by God, instead of asking God when and where he wants to use you. It's like always very well-meaning, but you see people just hurt. I mean, they hurt people and they say something and it is not ordained by the Lord.
Yes. Exactly. Sometimes the the comments that we see, even though they may be right. I've seen comments, I'm like, yep,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you're in alignment biblically, but I feel like when you made that comment, there was some pride behind it. You were not humble. You were not gentle. You were not practicing the fruits of the Spirit. Were you right biblically? Yes. Right. But did you practice? Did you produce a fruit of the Spirit? No, you did not. And so we have to make sure that we are still in alignment with Christ. The Bible is offensive. I see that a lot on TikTok. People like to use that. The Bible is offensive, and it is offensive. But we also have to make sure that whoever's receiving it on the other end, that they are in a place where they are wanting to receive it, that they're in a place spiritually where they will receive it. I tend to keep my mouth shut on a lot of videos, even though I heard this on a podcast today. I listened, it was Craig Rochelle's leadership podcast, and he was interviewing Lisa Turkhurst. And she said that I can be offended, but I don't have to live in offense. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that is so good. Like, there are so many things on TikTok that I am offended of, whether it's secular or whether it's Christian content. I can be offended. And I'm offended because I know, at least where my heart is, I do my best to be as Christ-like as possible. So sometimes the offense is because, like, ooh, that's of the flesh. That offends me because that's not biblical. And then sometimes I get offended because, like, I don't know if that is the conviction I'm supposed to have from God. So let me go check it real quick. So my offenses can come from different things, but I don't have to live in the offense, meaning I don't need to go necessarily comment on so-and-so secular music where they're dancing inappropriately and tell them that they're a sinner and that they're going to hell and all of this stuff. That is not my place. Like, right, I'm not judging. He tells us not to judge. I can't judge her saying she's going hell. That's above my pay grade. Right, just having that self-control of fruit of the Spirit and say, God may not need my help right here. I'm just going to scroll, because sometimes that gentle and quiet spirit is more powerful than my words coming at her and attacking her.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a word for this age, because it's like everyone, whether you're in the church or not, we're all like living our lives publicly. And in the church, it's like we're all living out our walks with the Lord publicly. Mm-hmm. That's why you have this mass of different convictions, because that's how the Lord works. And we're sharing them as if they're all just absolute truth. And, you know, it's a mess. But I think that's a very important word for this age. Don't live in the offense. Also, it's just not good for you. Like, you're gonna drop dead early. Like,
exactly. I just feel like it's just like the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin, do not give the devil a foothold.
Right.
I feel like offense can definitely be a part of that anger, like subtext of anger. And it can just give the devil a foothold. And so just, you want to protect your heart as well.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, thank you, Valerie. This has been incredible. Is there anything else that you want my listeners to know about you, about your ministry?
Oh, goodness. Well, you guys can go follow me on Instagram. It's @Val_Reynolds. And then, of course, TikTok. Go follow me on TikTok. And just be encouraged and never hesitate to reach out and ask. I'm a safe place. That's what I say in my coaching sessions. I'm a safe place. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you for your questions. I will do my best to be able to lead you and the direction that you need to go. And thank you for having me on this. It's been such a blessing to be on.
Absolutely.
And go listen to my podcast.
Yes. New episode out on Monday, you said, right?
Yes. Every Monday I have a new episode come out.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor and leave a rating and a review. That helps so much. And as always, be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Facebook @ThenGodMoved. I'll see you guys next week.